Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kimberly Herbert has supported Independent Tech News directly for 5 years. Be like Kimberly. Become a DTNS member right now. Patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, April 1st, 2019 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Our intern, Amos, is alongside as well today. How's it going, Amos?
I am doing well. Happy April.
It's a April Fool's free zone. We have no April Fool's stories. I'm not fooling you when I say that.
That we know of.
I feel like the internet calmed down this year.
I mean, we might have set the tone, I have to say.
Yeah, it was us.
Not to take too much credit, but like, yeah, I woke up today feeling like, it's going to be one of those April Fool's days. Not really.
No, it was fine. Yeah. So let's talk about a few tech things you should know.
And Cloudflare.
Sorry.
It's all right. Cloudflare announced an update to their 1.1.1.1 app, which now integrates a VPN called Warp. Warp encrypts all internet traffic from a device to the point that it hits Cloudflare's network and then uses a Google-developed protocol called QUIC, which builds on UDP to offer improved reliability, replacing Transmission Control Protocol, also known as TCP. Might know that one. Cloudflare claims that using QUIC and routing traffic over their wide network will noticeably decrease page loads while offering improved security. Warp will be available in an update to the 1.1.1.1 app as of April 1st, with paid plans available for greater access speeds.
As far as we know, not an April Fool's joke. Not a very funny one if it was.
No.
Airbnb confirmed it has invested in India's hospitality services and booking aggregator Oyo, which sources say to TechCrunch is worth between $150 to $200 million. In a late 2018 funding round, Oyo was valued at $5 billion. The companies are exploring having some of Oyo's 500,000 rooms across 13,000 hotels and 6,000 homes in 8 countries listed on Airbnb. Let's talk about Facebook. The Facebook PR machine was in.
Oh, Tom, I'm so glad.
Here this weekend. I know it's been too long, right?
Yeah.
Right. Here's what Facebook was up to this weekend. In an interview with Axel Springer, we've got 4 things. So we'll go through them one by one and see what we think of them. Here's number 1. In an interview with Axel Springer CEO Matthias Döpfner, Mark Zuckerberg said he wants to create a section of Facebook devoted to high quality news. So a section of the website, like a tab. He even mentioned the idea of paying the publishers for the right to list their content there. Facebook tested moving news content into an Explore tab, but it ended that test back in March of last year. What do you think of Zuck kind of floating out this idea of like, hey, we know you just passed a copyright directive in the EU for this, but we'll gladly pay you.
I mean, I don't know, man. For high quality news, I am used to paying a premium. That's how lots of news publications work.
You wouldn't have to pay, though.
Well, somebody would.
Facebook would. Facebook said it would be a non-revenue generating thing meant to just improve the quality of discourse in the world.
So why wouldn't it be the news tab in general?
Well, they want to create a high quality news tab where it's like,
well,
the news
okay,
tab is what
like,
people are sharing with each other. That's your personalized news. The high quality news tab would be curated This is stuff that you can rely on if you want even more news than just what's getting shared from your friends.
Yeah, okay. I sort of liken this to like when a laundry detergent is like extra strength. And you're like, well, shouldn't it all be extra strength? Like high quality news, like Facebook, like clearly this is an issue that you have across your entire network this entire time. So yes, high quality is better, but it's confusing to me how it would be implemented.
I think I understand what he's after. It's basically okay. Like you've got your news feed from your friends, right? Just the way it is now. And then you've got a tab that's sort of like, hey, if you're worried that, you know, your friends and relatives are feeding you a bunch of crap news, and you want to see the high quality stuff, you want to see curated stuff, you want to see stuff that's not just being passed around by your friends and family, check this out. We've got a curated high quality section that's like Apple News Plus or like Google News, Tech Meme, where it's like we're pulling together the good stuff for you rather than you relying on your friends and family who you need to connect with for other reasons, but may not be the best trusted place to get your news.
I would add just they would have a lot of they would have a very huge road to hoe because there's been just so much around news and Facebook in whatever combination that people would automatically put that into a question mark. Like, would I go here or would I just open a new tab and check, you know, a news source that I trust?
Yeah, but like, if Facebook were saying, because I know a lot of people who've requested this, I want someone to pull from multiple sources in a way that I trust. If they were able to pull that off, that would actually rehabilitate exactly.
Yes,
what you're saying.
It would, and so, I think actual product looks.
Listen, that's just one of the four. Mark Zuckerberg also published an op-ed in the Washington Post calling for internet regulation across four areas. He said we need internet regulation worldwide against harmful content, to preserve election integrity, to protect privacy, and to encourage data portability. He suggested creating third-party bodies to set standards governing the distribution of harmful content and having companies graded against those standards, privacy regulation in the mold of the EU's GDPR, and support for the data transfer project for standardizing data portability. Starting May 2nd, Facebook announced that a "Why am I seeing this?" post button will show up in the drop-down menu of every item in the news feed. So not just with ads now, but anything that's shared in your news feed from your friends and family, you can find out, okay, why is this showing up for me? Is it because I always like the things from my Aunt Esther? Is it because I once said that I really like nachos? It'll tell you all that sort of stuff. And finally, Facebook said it deleted 712 accounts and 390 pages in India and Pakistan for inauthentic behavior. 549 of the accounts and 138 of the pages were said to be linked to India's Congress Party. Congress said none of its official pages or any of the ones run by its verified volunteers were taken down. But there is an election coming up April 11th, so Facebook's trying to get ahead of that. Pages removed in Pakistan were said to be run by employees of the Pakistani military's public relations arm, the Inter-Services Public Relations Agency, or ISPR. So to sum up, we've got floating the ideas of curating news to improve the quality of news on Facebook. We've got an op-ed where Facebook says, please, we're big enough, we can take it, regulate us, help us out here so we don't always have to take the brunt of the criticism. And then you have explanations of the news feed coming and a crackdown ahead of a very important election in India.
I think Facebook is trying very hard to convince people that's turned over a new tree.
You mean a new leaf? Oh, you mean a lot of leaves.
That's like the whole tree.
The entire tree.
And they've made promises before, and you know, and subsequent release leaks shown that they haven't been as.
There's no promises here, though.
Oh, I know. But that's part of it. I mean, it's easy to say that you do something rather than do it. And so I think
they're saying, you know, maybe we'll do this. They're saying, please, governments do that. They're saying we're doing this May 2nd, and we just did this accounts and deletion. So there's no promises in here. There's no we might do it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. I think at least from my point of view, until they actually do something substantial, all of this will always come off.
So none of this is substantial enough for you. The adding of the why am I seeing this post button and the deleting of 712 accounts and 390 pages, not substantive.
To me, it just feels like you're patching up a leaky roof.
I actually will say the why am I seeing this feature is going to be very helpful. When I am on Facebook today, you know, there are people from my past, family members, people I went to college with, high school, people that are in my life now, and we're all very different. And there is a, you sort of end up getting this sense of like, why am I seeing all this stuff? And I think that if you understand that, like, oh yeah, it's my uncle that may have political views that are different than mine, like, sure, that makes sense. But collectively, it ends up being sometimes a little bit of an issue. And to have more information about why you're seeing the things that you're seeing and why your newsfeed is the way that it is, and maybe it's upsetting you a little bit, maybe it isn't, that is good information to have.
Well, yeah, because it can change your behavior of like, you know what, I'm not going to like that person's posts anymore because it's going to
exactly
show up. Or, yeah. And we didn't mention this part of it, but there is also going to be a feature that you can say, oh, see this kind of thing first, unfollow these kinds of things, change my newsfeed preferences. Like, you'll be able to make some of those choices right from this drop-down menu information.
Yoon Chang Hyun quit his lucrative researcher job at Samsung to start his own YouTube channel. Why are we talking about this? Well, I'll tell you. His story appears to be a bit of a trend, at least in South Korea. South Koreans had the shortest job tenure among member countries in the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, as of 2012. Now, this is just 6.6 years compared to the average of 9.4 years. And if you're looking at Japan, 11.5 years. The survey also showed just 55% of South Koreans were satisfied with their jobs, the lowest rate in the entire OECD.
You know, I'm watching one of the most popular, if not the most popular show in South Korea right now called Sky Castle. And it's entirely about the pressures that families put on their children to succeed in their exams, to get into a good college, etc. So it's funny, like, I get, like, maybe that's why that show is so popular, because it is such a big pressure and a big part of life there. And this shows that some kids are saying, you know what, enough. I don't want to go into the system and become a manager at Samsung. I want to move out to a farm. This Reuters story said a lot of folks are moving out into the countryside.
Yeah, very
now,
much so.
Which used to be taboo, like, oh, you're from the countryside, you're so low class. But the tide is changing there. And YouTube, as one of those things that allows people to do that, I think is really fascinating.
You know, and it's interesting because like other developed countries, South Korea has typically higher youth unemployment versus the general employment figures, typically 2 to 3 times higher. And their jobs tend to be more precarious. You might have a job, but whether or not you'll have it for the same length of time, say, as your father, who had that same position, mm-hmm. is also a big question mark. And so I think what you see here in Korea is probably a more extreme example, but generally all over, where people say, well, why am I literally working myself to death if my position in 10 years time is not going to be any better than it is today? Like, there's definitely a shift in, like, you know, going and running through the entire kind of academic gauntlet to secure a job doesn't mean that job is secure anymore.
And I mean, you see, I would add to that, you also have an alternative.
Yes.
Right. And more so than ever. And maybe not so much with the farming, but YouTube is a thing where, like, well, I could try that. That's something I could do. It's risky, but there may have not even been any viewable alternative for the generation before.
And definitely. I mean, the South China Morning Post had a story from December of last year, which indicated that 8 out of 10 Korean millennials wanted to leave the country if they could, like, immigrate out to somewhere else. Because I think there's just a level of dissatisfaction that you get when you're kind of pressured into doing a lot. Basically, okay, so I'm gonna step back here and put a little of myself into this story. As a Confucian culture, there's definitely a lot of influence through East Asian societies, whether it's China, Taiwan, Korea, Japan. And at some point, you kind of get sick of people telling you what your life should be mm-hmm. and the way to do it. Like, you want to just take control and say, all right, let me make my decisions instead of trying to fill your expectations. I think you see a little bit of that here.
Yeah. And again, I'm just going based on a very popular television show, but it's a reflection of culture. And that is the theme of Sky Castle, is the parents are making decisions for children to set them up for success. But it's the kind of success that the parents think is the only kind of success that matters. So Google announced new features for Gmail, celebrating 15 years since the email service was launched. That's right. Gmail has been around 15 years today. Users will now have the option to schedule emails from the Compose window. This is something you could do with plugins and such, but now it'll be native to Gmail. Gmail's Smart Compose feature is coming to all Android users. Pixel folks had it. Now everybody on Android's getting it. And they said it's going to come to iOS. They didn't say exactly when. They said soon. Smart Compose can also now suggest subject lines, adapt to a user's writing style, whether you're more formal or informal, that kind of thing. And they are adding support beyond English for Spanish, French, Italian, and Portuguese Smart Compose. So you can start writing in Spanish and it'll start suggesting things in Spanish now.
You know, when I first read this, I was like, 15 years, that's impossible. 2004? No, that's about right. And there was a time when it was like sarahlynn@gmail.com. People would be like, what mail? Hotmail? Yahoo Mail? What kind of mail? You know, like now it's if you don't have a Gmail account, it's almost a little strange. You know, going forward to today, I love the Smart Compose stuff. I know it some people hate it. I know some people turn it off. I love it. It almost always knows what I want to say.
It's super handy. And yeah. I will say explicitly, when I'm holding a child in one arm and I'm using my phone with the one hand, I don't need to type the whole response. Like, oh, perfect. I'll select that one. Send.
Yeah, I know. It. I mean, there are many times where I'm like, it was close, but it wasn't far off from what I was actually going to say as a sentence.
Yeah, I find that it's good at finishing my sentences. Mm. It's sort of, I use it as a shortcut. When a sentence is going to finish in a predictable way, it's really good at saying the last few words. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It speeds me up a little. I don't find it useful much of the rest of the time.
Really?
At this point, anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Guess you're just somebody who doesn't work with inside an algorithm, Tom.
I'm not
Tom.
Smart enough for the Compose.
Exactly.
You don't want Gmail putting words in your email.
No, it just doesn't suggest anything.
Yeah.
Really?
I have a lot of snappy comebacks, so I guess that's why it suggests them for
me. Right, yeah. Like so many times I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I was going to say anyway. Thank you. In an email media statement, Apple Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering Dan Riccio announced that Apple was canceling its previously announced AirPower wireless charging mat. We talked about this on the show briefly on Friday because it was breaking news. Riccio cited failure to achieve high standards for the reason. AirPower was originally announced in September of 2017, so it's been kind of up in the air for a couple of years now. Most speculation is that Apple could make the pad work, but it had problems with either overheating, wireless interference, possibly both. The AirPower was using multiple coils to charge devices with different charging systems at the same time.
Yeah, if you're like, wait a minute, I didn't hear you talk about this on Friday. It was on our Good Day Internet program.
Yes, the longer version.
I should have made us getting ready for the show. Right after the show that you can only get as a patron, patreon.com/DTNS. But to kind of expand on this for those who heard it Friday and also introduce it to everybody else, from what I can tell, the idea was that AirPower worked great. That's why they went ahead and announced it. They thought, oh, we just need to bring down the interference and overheating. We can definitely make that work. We'll be able to hit certification standards. And a few things I read suggested that they just could not get FCC certified, that they could not get the interference down low enough. In other words, it worked fine, but it wouldn't meet standards. Other people like John Gruber have said that they've heard that overheating was a big issue that they couldn't get under control either. It's not impossible that it was both, but because they were trying, instead of having Qi wireless charging for everything, if you're like, well, wait, there's so many other chargers out there, why didn't they just do what they do? They were trying to make it so that you could drop your Apple Watch, your AirPods, and your phone on there, and there were different charging styles for those devices, so they were trying to make all of that work together. A little bit of Apple proprietariness seems to have tripped them up. If they had standard Qi wireless in all three of their devices, they could have just made a standard Qi wireless pad and it wouldn't have been as much of a problem. Yep. At least that's what it seems from what I've read. Mm-hmm. In its annual update regarding Android security, Google reports that 0.04%, so not 4%, 0.04% of all downloads from Google Play were classified as potentially harmful applications. Now, that still is a rise. In 2017, it was 0.02%. However, Google attributed part of the growth to tracking more categories. For instance, Google began tracking click fraud apps in 2018 for the first time, and click fraud was the highest number of installed potentially harmful apps that they found in this report. So if you add in a whole new category that's your most popular category, you would expect the number to go up. That's a few tens of millions of app downloads, 0.04%. Sideloading seems to be the biggest risk. Google noticed that 0.08% of devices that used Google Play exclusively for app downloads were affected by potentially harmful apps. However, on the preventative side, Google said that Google Play Protect prevented 1.6 billion potentially harmful app installation attempts from outside of Google Play. So it does seem like they're putting a dent in things, but...
And the numbers are small.
Yeah.
You know,
overall, right? Don't lose sight of that. Like, there's a rise in the overall number because they've added some more categories. They seem to be putting a dent in some of the previous categories as those are declining. And the numbers are very small. Even though it's tens of millions of downloads, if you're careful and don't sideload apps, if you are selective about what apps you download and only download from places that you're familiar with or have heard about or seem legitimate, it would be very hard to get a potentially harmful app through the Google Play Store.
However, obviously reports like this come out because things do happen to people. You mm-hmm. do get harmful apps, even if you're in a minority. So as somebody who is not in the Android ecosystem, Roger, I know you are, how much is this sort of besides looking at some stats and being like, oh, okay, how much do people complain about this?
I generally don't really worry about that stuff. Partly is because I download so few apps in general. I get location, I get whatever streaming service I have, and then you know something to budget my time and a few other things. But typically, I stay away from a lot of the games, which usually seem to be the biggest culprits. Whether it's a freemium or other kind of like free-to-play game where people just download it because it looks fun, I usually don't have any time or any place to really play that. So it's not something on my radar. But, you know, it should just basically put a warning to most people. Just, you know, be careful about what you download. Most people don't sideload, which makes the Google App Store so important on the way they kind of curate it. But, no, between me and five other people who use Android, I don't think anyone of us have encountered an application that's been rogue or
you know,
weird.
Beatmaster in the chat room was asking how many downloads that is. The best estimate as far as TechCrunch can say is Sensor Tower estimates 75.7 billion Android downloads in 2018. So 0.04% of that would be about 30.3 million downloads, which makes it sound like a lot.
It does. But and it is.
The majority of the world's 9 billion people, and half of those are internet users, and 90% of them are Android users, maybe. Those numbers aren't right. But there's a lot of people using Android. So you're going to have a small percentage end up with a lot of downloads. But then how many of those downloads are actually harmful? They're potentially harmful and there's harmful. A lot of it is things like click fraud, which is not harmful to the user, but harmful to other people. So your chances of actually getting malware seem to be avoidable, I guess would be my point here.
Well, I've got some good news for some of you anyway. THX announced it will debut its large format THX Ultimate Cinema by the summer at the Regency Westwood Village Theater here in LA. The format features dual laser 4K Barco projectors and a THX certified 7.1 immersive sound system. So essentially, THX is taking on IMAX and also Dolby. THX pledges to master at least 30 films per year for its system, and the projectors are compatible with other movies as well.
Yeah, this is cool because we don't get to talk about projector tech a lot. And there, according to the Cengadget story, about 18 different widescreen projector technologies out there. IMAX and Dolby are the most popular. They're the ones you're most likely to run across. But THX is pretty well known. So you may notice that one where you might not notice one of the others. And it does seem like that should be what theaters do, is go to these wider screen, higher resolution, better sounding, immersive theaters to get you to come in, because that's when it's fun. When you're in a like really comfy seat with a little bit of rumble and a huge screen that you could never have at home, that's the kind of thing that makes me think, oh, this is worth leaving my house for, because I could never replicate this back at home.
Also, it wasn't that long ago that THX was like the coolest. Remember?
With THX Star Wars audio. Yeah. The audio, right. Yeah. And, you know, I think we just moved past having good audio be the coolest, right? And it went from that to, oh, we have to have 7.1 surround. We have to have Dolby Atmos. We have to have these screens with this wall of sound coming at you. It's totally evolved. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, there's an easy way to do it. Go subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com.
Also, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you hang out on Facebook, well, we've got good news. We've got a Facebook group for you, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Yes, indeed. And we like getting emails from you at feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Why, Sarah has one now.
In fact, I do. And this one comes from somebody who wanted to stay anonymous, and that is perfectly fine. Thank you anyway for writing in. Anonymous says, I was listening to episode 3497. You guys were talking about the FCC crackdown on the robo-dialing scammers. I am a software developer in the telco industry, specifically for a company that does robocalls. We, however, do the legal stuff like appointment reminders and recall alerts.
Okay.
This industry is surprisingly small. Everybody knows everybody, so I have a bit of insight into the FCC fines and those affected. The main provider of the robo service who was knowingly facilitating the spam calls was using a shell company designed to be burned. Aside from paying his fine, if he does, he or she anyway, the ruling will likely not affect the main business at all. It's also the only named party that was named as required to pay the full fine. None of the other named parties, spoofers.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Are actually required to pay their full fine because they simply don't have the money. They will likely do the same thing, shutting down their company, make it a new name, start dialing it again ASAP.
Yeah, there's two things going on here. One is the fines generally aren't collected and therefore don't have a lot of the punitive punch that they would otherwise. And the other thing is these companies can shut down their organization and reorganize under another name rather quickly. So even if you shut down a bunch of them, it doesn't mean they stay shut down. Thank you, anonymous industry person, for sharing your expertise with us.
More of you.
Yes, more of you, even if it's a sad thing like that. We also got Andrew, the automotive engineer, DTNS fan from Columbus, Ohio, writing in saying, hey, longtime listener and patron here, happens to live in Columbus. You guys have been an integral part of my daily commute to work every morning for 5 years. I'm so excited to finally be able to write in about something.
Woohoo!
On episode 3499, you guys discussed the Columbus, Ohio story about the Smart City Initiative, and everyone was wondering why Columbus was chosen, and I jumped with excitement at my chance to write in. I work as a design engineer for a big automaker who happens to have a 2,500-plus employee R&D facility and three major factories just outside of Columbus. Because of this, roughly 15,000 employees commute 30 miles on the same stretch of highway every day, each direction. So, as you can imagine, there's a lot of interest in the community for autonomous driving and electrification. Mm-hmm. The Columbus Smart City Initiative has partnered with automotive industry here and plans to utilize that same 35 miles of highway between Columbus and the factories to conduct autonomous infrastructure design and testing. You can check out 33smartcorridor.com for that. The first step of this was a smart intersection that was fully autonomous a few months ago. There's a story from the Dispatch that he's got for us there. Eventually, the plan is to leverage the automaker's presence in the region as a way to gather meaningful data due to all the traffic and existing research being conducted, and hopefully make our commutes better with self-driving cars someday. Of course, I will still be listening to DTNS every day, but maybe eventually you guys will discuss the latest in tech news and chip toppings while I'm working on a laptop riding along in an autonomous car. One can hope.
Andrew, if there's anything we can deliver to you, it's that.
Yes. Chip news and chip toppings.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks to everybody who writes in. We love you all. And Tom, what else can we tell our prospective patrons?
Listen, if you're out there listening to the public feed of DTNS and you're not a DTNS Patreon, we need your help. We fell just short of our goal of one more patron than last month. I would never blame you, but you can make it up right now. If we can just get two more than last month, I'll feel okay about it. And you get all kinds of cool stuff. If you're a patron of us for 3 months running, you will, at the two highest levels, you can get either a poster or a mug with the DTNS 5-year anniversary logo on it. Those are going to start going out to people who were patrons as of January 1st. They've even been sending some emails to verify addresses and that sort of thing. So start now. And check out all the other benefits that you get there at patreon.com/DTNS, including Good Day Internet, which has all the chip topping talk.
Indeed, it does. We also love your feedback. Your feedback makes us breathe. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's true. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com is where to send those emails. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.